You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
Last week, we'll be in a couple different places. I don't have a specific place to have you turn just yet, but we'll be continuing our series, Big Questions. So last week, we looked at what does my life really mean, but that's a big topic, and so we're going to be doing part two of this message today, Living with Purpose, and answering the question, what does my life really mean? So if you missed last week's message, I want to let you know that we have all of our sermons are online on our church website, so just go there and check out last week's sermon or any other sermon if you'd like to catch up. And I wanted to say just before I forgot, man, way to go you, man. We need to start making our goals bigger. If you guys blew the Arizona mission offering out of the water, and y'all are doing fantastic with the out of the box. So thank you for that. Y'all are doing awesome. Just give yourselves a hand. I mean, I'm really proud. And next year I'll make the goals even bigger. So way to go. That was really good. In 2015, a lady by the name of Deborah Craven was 60 years old, and she was having a lot of health issues, and some of it was connected to her ribs, and so she went in for surgery. And they performed the surgery, but she was still having pain. Other than that, they did what they were supposed to do. They had pulled out a rib. They had sewed her up. They cleaned her up, just like you're supposed to do with every surgery, good healthy surgery. Well, the only problem was they pulled out the wrong rib. And after researching this a bunch online, there's a bunch of these horror story, so I wouldn't recommend going down that path. So Adrian Rogers says this, and it applies to the story, applies to our lives. Failing is often just succeeding at the wrong thing. And doesn't matter if you were successful pulling out the rib if it's not the right rib, am I right? It doesn't matter what life that we want to live as believers. If we're not doing what God says to do, then we are succeeding at something that is ultimately failure. Failure is often just succeeding at the wrong things. And I know a lot of people in this world, believers included, that are succeeding at the wrong things. We are only successful when we do what God has created us for. We can move forward confidently, too, when we know what God wants us to do. You ever been on a date with your wife, and then you ask her this question that I'm not sure why men ever ask this question, but, hey, honey, where do you want to go eat at? I'm telling you, you're not going to drive confidently with that question, right? You're just going to kind of just meander around town until you're in a fight. That's usually my experience with it. You can't move forward confidently because you don't know where you're going. And there's a lot of people who don't know what they're supposed to be doing, and so they don't move forward in confidence. But God wants you to. See, man's highest aim and ultimate purpose is to bring God glory. You don't have to turn to these scriptures. We're going to go through these ones quickly, but we'll have some other ones we're going to camp out for a little while. But here's a couple of passages that speak to this truth. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." Psalm 86:9 says, "All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name." Isaiah 43:7 says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." Let me just read that last one again. That's a good one. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, is what God says, whom I formed and I made. See, we are free to pursue God in all areas of our lives. Some people think, okay, well, there's, you know, pastors and missionaries, and then, you know, and then it just kind of goes downhill from there. But that's not what God's Word says at all. And no matter what career path that you're doing, you can use it and to glorify God. No matter what it is, it can bring God glory. Doctors and lawyers and mechanics and housewives and businessmen and fathers and mothers, all of these occupations, all of these callings can be used by God equally to glorify His name. See, God wants to use your experience, your opportunities, your passions, your abilities for His glory and for His purposes. So many of you knew that if I asked you the question, you know, what's man's purpose? You'd say, well, to glorify God. And that's true. But we're going to answer that question with, what does that look like? How do we do that? Because, yeah, we want to glorify God with our lives, but what does the Scripture say about how we do that? You see, real meaning and significance come from understanding and fulfilling God's purposes for putting us on earth. Real meaning. Real significance comes from understanding and fulfilling God's purposes for putting us on earth. So let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts. Father, thank you for today. Well, thank you for the celebration of our veterans. Thank you for our country that we live in that is truly blessed. God, thank you for your word and the time of worshiping you through song and through giving and prayer. And Lord, we worship you now through the study of your word. So speak to our hearts. Change our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we looked at what it meant to have meaningless living. And we kind of looked at the person of Solomon, who was an expert at living life to its meaninglessness. He was an expert at that. He tried every way you possibly could and found absolute vanity and meaningless apart from God. So today we're going to be talking about how we do find meaning as believers. What we should be doing. So point number one is this. You and I were created for relationship with your and our Maker. You're created for relationship with your Maker. And Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 8 is the verse that we're looking at primarily today. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 8 says this. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. So Paul traded in his career for Christ. He traded in his career for Christ's kingdom. In that the context of this passage, the Apostle Paul was laying out his old life and how he had been blessed, how he had been rich, how he had been recognized, and people when people would walk by, man, they say, man, that's the Apostle, or that's Saul before he was the Apostle Paul. And they said, man, that's Saul. He studied under this guy, and he's kind of a big deal around here. Paul, other different occasions, sharing his testimony, said, look, I did all these things. I pursued righteousness. I pursued reputation. He said, but I found it all as garbage. Rubbish, as this passage says, compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. Paul knew that at least part of man's meaning, part of man's purpose in this life is for you to know your Maker intimately. See, your greatest joy, satisfaction, and purpose are found only in Him. See, worship is expressing your love to God, the celebration of God. A lot of times when we talk about worship, we think about music. We say, oh man, the worship was great. And the worship music was great today. And Seth was just killing it on the drum today, man. I was like, man, that's good. That was awesome, man. That was good. You're good. And but that's a part of worship. That's not every part. Worship is celebrating God. Worship is loving God and serving Him. And so that happens in every aspect of our life. It's a lifestyle, not a moment on Sunday morning. It's something that we do all week long. See, if you want to experience God's purpose for your life, you must experience God. Okay, I'm checking. If you want to experience God's purpose for your life, you've got to experience God. He's where you find purpose. He's where you find meaning. And if you want to know what God wants you to do, you got to spend time with God. See, a close relationship with the Lord allows Him to guide and direct and prepare you for your God-given purpose. Now, when you watch a little bit of football, and I do, and I enjoyed watching the Alabama Crimson Tide get taken to the woodshed yesterday, just made my heart so happy. But when you're in a stadium sometimes, and another team's stadium, which would be the enemy, I mean, they're going to be really loud. They're trying to make sure that the quarterback can't let the rest of the team know, the rest of his team know what the plays are so they can know what to do. And so that other crowd is screaming, man, they're banging bells sometimes, they're blowing horns, they're doing all sorts of things because they're trying to interrupt that communication. And so when we do this, and so what when they do that, they'll gather around, and what they'll do is they'll huddle up. I know little kids thought they would cuddle up, but that's not what they're doing there. They huddle in a circle, right? And so what are they trying to do? The quarterback is trying to make sure they know the plays, they know the plans, what they're supposed to do. But the only way he can do that is when they're in close proximity to the quarterback, right? You've got the noise, you've got the sound causing distraction, working against them, but only when they have close proximity to the quarterback do they understand what they're supposed to do. Brothers and sisters, we can't know what God wants us to do if we're not in close proximity to our God. But He's the one who's going to tell us where to go and what to do and how we should do it and the plans He has for our lives. And make no mistake, He has plans and purposes for your life. Moses discovered his destiny and his purpose by going where God was. Moses, man, he was just kind of chilling for a while, man. He said, you know what? This shepherd thing is easy. Nobody's trying to kill me and nobody's angry with me. I'm just going to live with the sheep here in the desert. This is all fine and good. And then he saw that burning bush, right? And so then he got close to God. And God said, I've got your destiny. I've got your plans and your purposes all lined out, and I'm going to go with you every step of the way. But the only reason Moses knew that was because he spent time with his Maker. If you want to know what God wants you to know, you got to spend time with God. See, you were made to know God truly, intimately. You find purpose and meaning by knowing your Maker. There's a lot of people struggling with this question. What does it mean to, why am I here? I'm telling you, friend, part of that reason is so that you can know your Maker. Point number two is you were created for relationship with mankind. So you're created for a relationship with your Maker, but you were created for a relationship with mankind. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 with me. We're looking primarily at verse 16. Ephesians chapter 4. So the whole context of this passage is the body of Christ and how God's given certain gifts and abilities to other people and the body of Christ, Christians. And so we are working and we're serving together. But then it comes down here all the way into verse 16 and read along with me. Or let's read verse 15 and 16 for a little bit of context. It says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, for whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. See, working properly, growing, building in love, the body of Christ, consistent testimony of the Old Testament and the New Testament is that we are better together than we are apart. That we are made for each other. That we are made for meaningful relationships with other people. Yes, you can have that outside of church in the body of Christ, but most meaningful relationships that you're going to have are going to be with people who you know and who you serve with and who are building you up and who you are building them up, and they're helping you in your weakness and you're helping them in their weakness, and you're doing it and you're knitting yourself together in love. People are lonelier than ever. If you looked at statistics, it's sort of disheartening. Social media and all these different avenues that we have to communicate with people are just reinforcing fake relationships. And so people can have connection with thousands of people and they don't know anybody. People are lonely. But God created you to have deep, meaningful relationships with other people. Now, if you'll remember the story of Adam and Eve, do you remember that man sinned and then God created a person for him? No, that's not how it went. I was just checking you. Okay, there you go. You're awake, right? That's not how it went. God made this beautiful creation in Genesis chapter 1. He made all these animals and beautiful planets. And then after looking at Adam, he said, "It is not good that man should be alone." See, God created relationship before sin came into the world. God created you and I to want and need other people. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing sinful about it. Matter of fact, it's actually saintly to want to love and be loved by other people. That's from God. God is in relationship. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in perfect community, in perfect relationship. Before all the world existed, before the universe began, we're in perfect relationship. God loves and cherishes relationships. And God wants you to have cherish and love relationships. The words one another are used 58 times in the New Testament. 58 times. God says, love one another, care for one another, pray for one another, exhort one another, encourage one another, greet one another, and so on and so forth. God cares about one another. He wants you to care about one another. He's made you to care about other people. Now, I've never been able to see them in person, and I hope to one of these days, but redwood trees are some of the biggest trees that grow in this world. And have y'all ever seen them? Y'all have been to California and saw them? Okay, cool. I'm just curious. I'd like to see. Big and beautiful from the pictures, unlike most any other tree. But the thing that's interesting about redwood trees is that they do not grow well by themselves, generally speaking. They grow together. And the reason why they've been able to reach such heights, such strength, endure so long, was because they grow with other redwood trees and their roots began intertwining. And so when the storms of life come, they don't blow over. Brothers and sisters, if you want to be strong in your faith, you want to have purpose and meaning, you want to have growth in your life, then your roots must be intertwining with other believers. So they can strengthen you and you can strengthen them. You are created for relationship with others. You find purpose and you find meaning in relationship with other people. Now look around and I see a whole world of people without real relationships. And they're struggling to find their purpose, to find their meaning in this life. Point number three, and lastly, you are created for mission. We'll go back to Philippians chapter 3 for this. So you're created for relationship with your maker. You were created for relationship with mankind. And you are created for mission. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. The Apostle Paul writes, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Because I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the upward call. I press on toward the upward goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, Paul heeded the upward call. He was focused not simply on this life and these cares, but on the kingdom above. God's kingdom. Heavenly pursuits, eternal pursuits. He said, but one thing I do. I press on toward the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is what I was called to do. This is what I was made for, the Apostle Paul, living a life not for God, living a life for himself for decade after decade of glorifying himself, serving him himself. He realized that it was not about him, that it was about Jesus. That it wasn't about him, that it was about Jesus. And he said, I press on toward the upward call of Jesus Christ. He said, I press on toward not my kingdom, he said, but God's kingdom. He knew that he was saved not just from something, but for something. Do you know that, church, that you weren't just saved from something, that you were saved for something? That God saved you from sin. He saved you from yourself. He saved you from hell. He saved you from eternal death. He saved you from those things, but he saved you for something. He saved you for something. He saved you for his purposes, his kingdom, his use. He saved you for something. You know, when you get in a car accident and you bring it to a shop and you have them fix it up and they get it all pretty and they fixed up everything that was wrong with it, everything that was bent and broken and cracked, and you say, okay, great, all right, thank you for doing that, have a nice life. No. You bring it there, you fix it up, so it can come back and be what? Useful for you. It was saved from something. It could be saved for something. Every Christian is called to ministry, created for ministry, saved for ministry, and gifted for ministry. Ministry is any time you use the abilities God has given you to help someone else in Jesus' name. So this is ministry for me. This is part of my ministry. But your ministry doesn't have to be this. Your ministry is serving somebody in Jesus' name, no matter where you're at. Whether it's an accountant or a doctor or a mom or a father, all the things that we just talked about, a student, young and old, that you have a place and God wants you to serve and ministry where you're at. What a small, what a limited church and what limited ability that we'd have if me and other paid staff were the ones who did ministry at this church. How small our effect would be for the kingdom. But what if you were the ones doing ministry every week, week in, week out, serving other people in Jesus' name? That influence grows and it grows and it grows because people want meaning and purpose, real meaning and purpose. You know, I like them, but they're a little bit frustrating to me. I like the self-service grocery lines at the grocery store. I like them because, man, I don't know a lot of people more impatient than myself. So I like, even if I got 50 items, I want to beep, 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 beep. I want to be through there. I don't want to be sitting behind anybody. And then somebody brings out the checkbook, and you're like, oh, man, I'm never going to get out of here, you know. I'm that guy. So I love being those little self-checkout lines. But it also feels a little bit backwards, right? That I'm going there, I'm paying money, and I'm watching a person who works there, judging by their T-shirt, and they're watching me check out the groceries, bag them up all by myself. It seems kind of backwards, doesn't it? A lot of people got things backwards. I say, okay, God, how can you serve me? How can you bless me? What can you do for me? All right, this church, it's being a room. How can you bless me? How can you serve me? And get it all confused. And God says, no, that's not the way it works. He says, you should be asking the questions, how can you serve me? How can you be useful for my kingdom is what God is asking. Not the other way around. See, we serve and we share. We're created for mission. Matthew 28, we know the Great Commission, which is calls believers to go into all the world, making disciples. This is our mission,
So we don't just serve people, but we share with people what Jesus has done in our lives, what he can do in theirs. So you were created for mission. People find purpose and they find meaning in mission. I think maybe believers do better on some of these first points, but I think a lot of believers really struggle on this third one. The idea of sharing with the gospel with other people, actively trying to bring people into God's kingdom, is something that a lot of believers don't do. And a lot of believers rob themselves of joy and purpose because they don't do what God has called them to do. Let me close with this story. I worked for an evangelist for several years when I was younger. And he was an incredible evangelist. He had a huge influence internationally and here stateside. Shared the gospel with thousands of people. I would say led hundreds and maybe even thousands of people to the Lord. Had an incredible impact for God's kingdom. But before he became an evangelist, I remember him telling me this story. He was from Indiana. All my Indiana people said, "Oh yeah, we got a bunch of people here." Yeah, there we go. We got a couple. They're quiet. They're quiet people. And he was working for a big car manufacturing plant. And he was extremely intelligent person. And so even at a very young age, he had a very well-paying job and was offered an even better paying job, the kind of money that most people could not say no to. But God had done a work in his life. God began stirring in his heart what he was supposed to be doing. He said he remembered getting down one night, getting on his knees and praying this prayer to God. Said, "God, I don't want to build cars. I want to build people's lives." And God has used him and continues to use him for decades. Now make no mistake, I'm not contradicting myself. There's people that God's called to work in that very same car manufacturing plant, spreading the news of Jesus Christ. But it wasn't this guy's calling. And if he had missed it, he would have missed the ability to share the gospel with thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. See, real meaning and significance come from understanding and fulfilling God's purposes for putting us on this earth. You want to know, you want to have meaning, you want to have purpose, you're not going to find it here. And you're not going to find it in the world abroad. You're going to find it by talking with God. You're going to find it by following his good purposes. As we move into the invitation time today, this is the challenge of God's word. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to know that you're created for God's good purposes. So resolve to serve him today. No matter where you're at, no matter your age, no matter your background, resolve to serve him today. Say, "I want to be a godly fireman. I want to be a godly electrician. I want to be a godly person that works at Raytheon," whatever you guys do there. "I want to be a godly person. I want to influence people for God's kingdom." Resolve today to do that. Don't wait for some spiritual goosebumps to do what God has called you to do. God has already called you to it. You just have to obey it. Serve God. Influence people where you're at. Commit to that today. Resolve in your heart to do that this very day, this very moment. But you know what, Pastor? If I look at my life lately, it's pretty self-focused. It's all about me. It's all about my family. It's about my needs. And it really has nothing to do with God and His kingdom. And I know I need to give that up to God today. I need to repent of that. I need to turn from that sin. And I need to give my life and my actions and my heart and my attitude, all those back to God. Then do that. You say you find your meaning in your Maker. Maybe there's someone here today who's not a believer, that you don't know Jesus Christ, that you've asked that question yourself. What is the meaning of life? What's the purpose? Why are we here? Is it true that we're just atoms that happen to come together? We're just chemical. We're just stardust in an indifferent world, indifferent universe. Or is it true that God made you, that God loves you, that God has created you and designed you for a specific purpose in this world? Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life when you've turned from your sin, you recognize your need for forgiveness, that you needed Jesus Christ to save you from your sins? You acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior of your life. That Jesus, I want you to be in charge of my life and not me. I want you to be in charge of my life and not me. Forgive me of my sins. I follow after you. And then we talked about in the prayer time earlier, it's not about fancy prayers. It's about an authentic heart. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you haven't done that today, friend, make sure you do that. You will not find meaning. You will not find purpose anywhere other than with your Maker. So let's pray. Father, thank you for relationship with you, relationship with others. God, thank you that you have called us to a task. We recognize we cannot do it on our own. We need your strength. That's the way you've designed it. But help us to see what it is. Help us to be faithful. Lord, help those who do not know you to know you, to find purpose, to find meaning in life. Lord, we love you and we ask this thing in Jesus' name. Amen.